Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots.
Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back into another episode of Pick and Pod. I'm Owen Kelty, joined today by Madi Dembele and Samantha Ortiz. And I just want to get right into it. It's been an interesting start for this New York NBA season, just the NBA in general, but on one side, the team that we thought was going to absolutely stink and go for Operation Capture the Flag has been pretty decent so far. And then the other team, who I want to get into first, the New York Knicks, who had super high expectations going into this season, as our producer, Kurt Sipple, throws up the L because he is a sad Nets fan, telling me that the Knicks stink. But hey, 3-3 to start the year, not the start that the Knicks might have wanted, but it's a brand new team, and Madi, I'm just going to throw it right to you. How are we feeling about the Knicks so far to start the year?
Well, first of all, congratulations on the Knicks, on the free agent acquisitions, the roster you've been able to put together. But I do not think, being a Nets beat reporter for WFUV's very own, I don't think it's time to panic. 3-3, it's a slower start to the season than you would imagine. That season started with a big, big loss to perhaps the most well-oiled machine in basketball. The Boston Celtics are just something, and a team like that could set you like back a little bit. And the next day, they're 3-3 as of right now. Jalen Brunson is still playing great basketball, 26 points per game. Karl Anthony Towns has shown flashes. Again, I think he's the one zero-sum type of player. Like, he's either really, really good or he's going to shoot 4 for 12 in a game 6 elimination. There's no in-between for him. Mikal Bridges, I think, is the most interesting because I believe he's averaging around 17, and we all know about his three-point shooting woes, the fact that he's changed his shot mechanics and stuff like that. But it still has time to come together. Again, this is really a playoff team, and I don't mean that in the sense that they're gonna be like a six seed in the regular season. But playoffs is really when this team is really gonna come together, and that's what it was built for. Josh Hart's leading the team in efficiency, as he always does. Great rebounder, amazing defender. Just give it a little bit of time. I think it goes along with the New York attitude that we're just a bit impatient. But 3-3 for the first six games, 82 regular season games plus playoffs. It's a long season. Let them get their feet wet. Let it gel.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the boys have a lot of time to get the rhythm and get back in. I think as of right now, McBride is a good rotation for Brunson. I think that little duo, once they rotate and they get in that rhythm, that'll be great. I do think that Jay Hart is going to have to step it up when it comes to just being like a field goal. His percentage is a little lower than Clint Capella, which we played tonight. So I think we got to give the boys time, and once they get back in the groove, hopefully they should be okay.
Kelty, really quickly, before I throw this to you, I think there is one worry that kind of got me. They lost to the Houston Rockets last night, and the way the Rockets did it, it was by committee. And I've noticed the Knicks, that's probably the one thing, maybe I gave them a little bit too much praise, but that's the one thing they struggle with, teams that are super deep. Because the Knicks used to be one of those teams with DiVincenzo and Randall. They struggle against the deeper teams and teams that could beat you by committee. Rockets didn't shoot the three ball all well, but they beat you because multiple guys had, I believe it was like 10 plus points, Jalen Green with 15, Van Vliet with 19. So deeper teams may give this Knicks team the trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the box score. They had five players that scored 10 plus points, which if you're the Knicks, who are supposed to be this high-end defensive team, the biggest problem with the Knicks right now is the depth, and that was always the question going into the season. When you trade away Dante DiVincenzo, when you trade away Randall, that really messes up with your whole rotation. When you lose Bogdan Bogdanovic in the Mikal Bridges trade, that's another rotational piece that you're not going to get back. Mitchell Robinson goes down with an injury. Isaiah Hartenstein leaves in free agency. So that was always the big question. You brought up a good point. Like, they're going to struggle as of right now against teams with a lot more depth than them. They only ran like a 9-man rotation, and Tyler Kolek played 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So like right now, the Knicks are running a basically 8-man rotation with Jericho Sims as one of them, and Jericho Sims is not. He's not good at basketball. he's not that good at basketball.
He's an athlete.
So you're looking at like a glorified 7-man rotation, And when you're six games into the season, I don't think that's sustainable.
It's a playoff rotation. Like, that's what they're focusing on. It's like playoff rotations get cut down six, seven men. It's not a nine-man rotation. You rarely see that. So, again, it's a playoff atmosphere. But I got to ask you, particularly about Mikal Bridges, do you think it was entirely too much? Because in this role, like, you could argue maybe Mikal Bridges is a better basketball player than Bogdan Bogdanović. That's up in the air there. But for their role within this offense, it's basically a lateral shift. Plus, you gave up a bunch of assets there. I thought they overpaid for one Mikal Bridges. Is that something you agree with?
I'll let you answer that one first and see what you think about that.
Same kind of player, no?
No, I don't think there's a big difference between Bogdan. I mean, I think there's a big difference between Bridges and Bogdanović.
But within the role of this team.
I still think they're trying to iron out their roles of Bridges and, like, what his exact, like, what he's supposed to do on this team. Because he didn't come here to be a 17-point-per-game scorer like he was in Brooklyn. He was supposed to be here to be
3-and-D.
A 3-and-D guy, average 14 to 15 points, and kind of fill in as that third. And, like, him and OG Anunoby were both supposed to be around 10 to 15 points, maybe. But they're there for that wing defense, and then offensively on Brunson and Cat. But right now, Cat hasn't really been who he usually is in his career. He's a lot of up and down games, like you mentioned before, and Bridges has had to step up. I also think they are hurt by losses of no Precious Achiuwa right now, who really helps out that rotation. And Campaign just went down with an injury. I think he's been questionable for a couple of games. He missed the Rockets game, but they have to figure out this rotation. I think as the season gets on and they get more the depth to come back, you'll see Bridges go into the role he was traded for.
Okay. Do you think the trio of, like, Cat, Hart, and Brunson could be as good as, let's say, like, let's switch in Cat for DiVincenzo last season? Do you think it can be that good?
I was never a fan, 100%. I like the Mikal Bridges trade. We brought Chris Carino, another FUV guy, brought this up to me on a different Pick and Pod episode. If I could go back and undo one of the trades, this was after the Celtics game, so obviously super reactionary, it would have been... I mean, I never thought the Cat trade was a good trade. Like, I like the depth that they had with Randall and DiVincenzo, and I think that fit, even though they didn't have a center, the fit with maybe Randall at the five and signing maybe, like, a not as great center, just, like, a big man to fill in that role instead of giving up all that for Cat would have been better. But I still don't think if Mitchell Robinson was healthy, they don't trade for Cat.
Really? Okay, because I'll tell you this about the Nova Knicks, because this is really where it's coming from. I do think there was a cap to the Nova Knicks. I do think they were going to be fun. They were going to be...
Definitely, yeah, I agree. There was a ceiling, but I don't know if there was...
a ceiling.
I think this season wasn't the one to blow... I would have said this season was the one to see what that ceiling
to
was.
See, exactly. I would definitely agree with that. Julius Randle, however, a bull in the China shop, he will shoot you out. Like, we're talking about Karl-Anthony Towns. Julius Randle will shoot you out of a playoff game.
100%.
I do like the Cat trade. I do like the Cat trade. And again, he's giving you big performances. 44 on Miami. And it's going to get a little tricky. Like, you have to move heaven and earth to try to make him the best Cat. Like, you're going to have to play another big with him to be his, like, new
Rudy. Move him to the four more.
Yeah.
But
so it's going to be a lot of moving. But the team that usually gets the best players is the team that usually won. And Karl-Anthony Towns was the best player in that trade. So I'm not mad at it. It gave you, man for man, the best, maybe the best five in basketball just off a name value. It's up there, certainly. So I'm not particularly mad at it. I don't know.
You see, Marty. Hey, guys. Sorry.
Mr. Sipple.
Welcome in, Kurt.
Producer coming in. So the one thing I say, I want to ask the Knicks fans in the room right now. I know Owen right now kicking himself a little bit. Randall, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Any buyer's remorse for the trade for Randall? I know you said that you regret it, but
I would never say I regret it.
But you don't
57% from the field.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cat's 52%.
And I really like the Cat rotation if you had Mitchell Robinson, because that's like the Rudy Gobert. I've been saying
that's what
this
I'm saying.
The entire
he could
time.
Be his Rudy.
It's the Rudy Gobert and pick and roll protection of the rim, because Cat can't protect the rim. We
no,
just get that
no,
straight.
And every game he just gets dragged out to the three-point line.
He cannot protect
the
rim
cycle
for any amount. He's not a good center, or not a good defensive center. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong there. He's not a good defensive center, and he's not good for a Thibodeau. I can't get it out. Yeah, but he's not good for that kind of team where he has to run all game. He's going to get tired fast. And we saw that when he was with the Wolves. He does not play that kind of brand of basketball where he will play all 82 games every single day and give you 100%.
Carl Anthony Towns has quick, nimble feet. He's like fast. He's like a fast forward, really. He's not strong enough to play in the center. That's why they used Cat as the primary defender and funneled him funneled the ball handler to Rudy Gobert. It wasn't the opposite. He can't protect the rim, but he can move his feet. He could turn his hips as opposed to just moving laterally. And again, I do agree with the point that if he had Mitchell Robinson or even a Precious Achiuwa, Precious could jump.
Precious Achiuwa is a huge loss to this team, and I don't think people realize as much as, like, because I've been saying this, his name value in the NBA obviously isn't as high as a lot of guys, but when you watch him, like, his rebounding ability for a guy who is really a, like,
6'8",
power forward is unbelievable. Like, he is one of the better rebounding guys in the league, and losing him, I think, has definitely really hurt this team. But I want to talk about too, like, the Knicks. Like, you, Kurt, and you brought up, like, Cat plays better, like, I guess slower, but the Knicks are one of the slowest lineups. Like, the Knicks starting lineup is one of the slowest paced teams in the league right now.
That I did not know.
Which they have been in the past. Like, a lot of Thibodeau offenses, I guess, usually are, like, the slowest paced teams. But I don't know if that's a Brunson thing where he slows it down. But, too, at the end of that Rockets game, it felt a little weird, like, watching it. Like, I think Brunson has to get away. Maybe this came from the playoffs when everyone's injured. But it was a lot of ISOs at the end of that game. And maybe when he's not shooting as well, he has to be able to trust the guys around him to also make shots. Like, when it was a close game, he ran a lot of ISO, and it was missing shots when he probably could have swung it around, gotten a couple guys open. I think that's going to be a part of the adjustment process for this team.
I think it's hard to trust the other guys to take the shots if we have players like Sims playing.
Sims on the – yeah, that's fair.
I think as a rookie, he's not my favorite. I kind of wish we had a rookie like Wemby. Just because he has the ball, he passes it every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. He holds it for a bit and then gives it away. So I think, I don't know, I kind of sympathize if we want to say that with Brunson, because how can he just trust the players if not all of them can play the game?
Yeah, it makes you think of the Nova Knicks even.
That I think too is different. Like, you saw that in the playoffs, like, they were down all those players, but they all trusted each other so much that, like, he was swinging. Like, DiVincenzo during the playoffs 35. Was like a second. Like, he was averaging 30 points a game almost for, I think, the Pacers series. Like, I think, and that's part of the whole, like, this team needs to gain chemistry, and it might take a while. I mean, it might take them 20 games before, and they might be like 10-10, where you're like, hey, then they're going to start picking it up. Because even last year, before they made the OG and Anobi trade, they were around like the 6-7 seed.
Yeah.
So it might take some time for this team to figure it out. It'll be interesting. They play the Hawks tonight, who have the number one overall pick, Zach Richacher.
Richacher.
You know what I said? I don't know if I said that one right. I think that's also a good matchup for the Knicks, because right now they're not playing like the best teams in the league. They started off a little hard, like, with a harder schedule. They went with, like, they had the Celtics, they had the Pacers, the Cavs, Heat. Now they have Pistons, Rockets, Hawks. And then they end up playing the Bucks, who we'll talk about that later. The Bucks stink this year.
The Pacers is a team you could – 76ers are no good because it's Maxi out there, who I actually think is going to lead the league in scoring. I don't know how.
I think he'll be close there too. But I want to move on to the other New York team, Kurt's team back there. Mahdi beat reports for them. The Brooklyn Nets, who have started this year 4-4, which, you know, no one besides the Brooklyn Nets would ever celebrate being a 500 team. But right now they're 500 and they're playing above expectations through the ceiling. This team was supposed to stink. They're supposed to lose every single game and go get capture the flag, Cooper Flag, who, Kurt, I don't know. I'm going to go straight to you on this. I don't know if you watched Cooper Flag's Duke main event. Are you regretting these wins already?
Nope.
That is insane.
Why would I want to root for my team to lose? Are you kidding me?
Because that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Cooper Flagg is going to be the first overall pick.
No. Owen. Are you rooting for the Giants to lose every week?
Yes.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. I've not watched the game in two weeks. I've seen your tweets.
I watch one play every week. They start losing. I turn the game off, and I hope they lose.
Yes, but you're not rooting for them to lose.
I am rooting for them to lose.
No, you're not.
You're
lying to yourself right now. If you looked in the mirror and said that, the mirror would crack. You're lying to yourself.
I don't root for the Giants to win.
Maybe you don't want them to lose. So why in that fact would I want the Nets to lose? What's the point for me? Why would I be a fan? Why would I watch the games? I didn't miss. I'll be honest with you. At a point in my life, like, I'm saying, like, for 3 years, I did not miss one Nets game.
Yep, that was when you had the big three.
No, before that too. I'm saying that was before that, too.
Yeah, but they were fun.
Yeah,
this
and they're fun. And they're really fun.
Absolutely
right now.
Fun. Wait, stop.
Yeah, you see them up.
You just want to hate. You just want to hate on the Nets, and that's what you're trying to do.
I love that
yellow hair. You have yellow hair right now because the Knicks lost.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
I do. I would never make a bet on the Nets winning because they're not going to win that
you
much.
You should make a bet
the
on
year.
The Nets winning because they're one of the three teams in the East with four wins. Mind you, that those teams are a team that hasn't lost yet.
Who?
The Celtics. The Cavs. The
Celtics.
And the Nets. Three teams. Those are the winningest teams in the East right now. Just letting you know.
The Brooklyn Nets are indeed the number three seed in the Eastern Conference. Kurt, I don't know if you saw, but I was watching the Chicago Bulls game, and that was a very, very impressive win. Shout out to Cam Thomas. I mean, the whole thing with him in like prior years was big offensive player. He could juicy. He could really put points on the board. Couldn't defend to save his life. I don't know why he wasn't getting minutes in the rotation, but he had 32 big ones. Yeah, I think it was 120. Shout out to Josh Giddey, who actually allowed me to take a picture with him. That's just a side note I wanted to throw out there. Josh Giddey, randomly.
Key word in that rotation minutes is someone by the name of Jordy Fernandez.
Jordy Fernandez. Shout
right
out
now.
To Nets head coach Jordy Fernandez.
Coach Vaughn last year did not know what he was doing.
Did you see the I'm sorry, Kurt, the big time logo three that Cam had to end that game? Like, it was almost like the cherry on top. He was getting his shot as
yes.
he usually does. Dennis Schroeder has been an amazing acquisition. Like, even going back to last year when he first came to Brooklyn, like, you just saw the offense kind of get a little bit of a rejuvenation.
It's a very
there.
Deep team.
It's
and
fun.
As much as you don't want to call them deep, Owen, and I know you don't, and I also want to hear everyone else's opinion on this, but I don't know how you cannot call them deep. I don't know how you can't call them fun, because
they're
every
fun.
Single
fun
night they're
heck.
Going out there and playing their butts off.
I'll say this.
Just like how the Knicks are supposed to be doing, but they're not.
It's early in the season.
Kurt wants war. I'll leave it at here before I throw it to Samantha and you, Owen. I'll say, like, the Nets will fall down back to earth. I'm sorry, Kurt. Like, it will fall down back to earth. But as of right now, they do not know gravity. And it is fun as heck. And I'm here for the ride as long as it lasts.
Yeah, okay. You see, this is tricky for me. Because, yes, I am a Knicks fan, but I will side with Kurt. I totally agree. I think, like, listen, you got to root for your team. I get it. You have to do that. And I will say that Nick Claxton, like, he's doing his thing. You know, he's shooting those shots. And that's something that I wish the Knicks could watch and pick up from. I don't know. I just...
I know wishing that the Knicks had a real center is
yeah.
definitely something that...
They have a real center.
For.
He just happens to get hurt every other week.
Oh, yeah.
And then
exactly.
he goes
Nick
on
Claxton,
Twitter,
Nick
and then
Claxton,
he complains, and then he makes Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I forgot about that.
Oh, but also a great rebounder. What?
He's the only one left, but he doesn't play ever.
Mitchell
Remember
Robinson?
When he made that post?
You guys are
Wait,
horrible.
He's the only one left?
What is
Oh,
this?
He is. He is actually the... Mitchell Robinson is the only remaining player.
He is the only remaining player left.
He is.
Oh, no. We hear Knicks.
Yes. But... Nick Claxton, loyal to the fan base, because he could have left and got a bigger bag and probably a championship somewhere else, and he stayed with the Nets. He would have been a starting center somewhere else. I don't know how you can't agree with me there.
Yeah, somewhere else.
I think he could have been a starting center with the Knicks. That's why they tried to go after him, but he would not cross the bridge.
Yeah,
just like someone else.
He was
Mikal
a hater
Bridges.
Of the Mikal Bridges. I remember the "I won't be crossing that bridge" Instagram story.
Why would
Mikal?
Because Mikal Bridges traded on them and then started talking trash about the Nets organization, who took him in and made him a star when no one else wanted to.
Well, the Suns really did not want to get rid of Mikal Bridges, so I don't want to.
Kevin Durant.
It was for Kevin Durant, who is like a top 10 player of all time. So I think you'd really be willing to get rid of a guy you don't want to. But going back, I want to talk about the Nets' death. I was not familiar with Nets ball as much as, you know, Knicks.
Come on.
The Nets death is pretty insane. I mean, they played a lot of guys in that Grizzlies game that they won, and Bogdanovich, has Bogdanovich played at all this year? No, right?
Not much. I think he's played a few
because
garbage
of injuries
time minutes.
Or because of...
I think he might be on a minutes restriction that they haven't, he hasn't been out on the floor much.
So the last game they had no Bogdanovich, no Ben Simmons, no Daron Sharp, and no Noah Clowney.
There we
and
go.
And they still had... I gotta count this up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-man rotation that won a game. So that's, you're looking at a lot of guys that can get it done. And talking about this Nets team, you think they're gonna come back down to earth? Where do you guys think they rank in the East? Overall, throughout a whole season, are they bottom of the barrel, like top five pick? Are they play-in team? Are they contention for the sixth seed? Are they just in no man's land?
I'm trying to think, because I know Milwaukee, Philadelphia, they will rise.
Yeah, I don't know about Milwaukee.
Milwaukee will. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo will win you basketball games. Mm-hmm. It won't be pretty. I mean, like, Milwaukee's about to get ugly, but as long as you have those two, you'll win basketball games. Charlotte, Toronto, Washington, Detroit, and maybe Atlanta. Where does Brooklyn fit in all this?
Yeah.
Maybe they could grab, like,
the
last play-in spot, Kurt. I don't know if that's a bit too pessimistic for you, but I'm thinking maybe 10. 9 if they play out of their minds. I don't know.
So I think that they can grab – so I think they can grab a higher play-in spot than that. I just have to see how they play against better competition, because when they played Giannis – they looked really good, and they were on
their
game.
Memphis.
Very, very bad, though. They're 1-6.
No, I know, but also, they also played a very good center in Zach Edey, and they exposed him to that game. He's pretty good this season.
Memphis is the litmus, for sure.
They
that
have
was
been
a
very good... It has been a good litmus test, and they beat them twice. And I think I was at the Pistons game. They should have won against the Pistons. They
Pistons
just took
look
their,
good this year, too.
They took their foot off the gas during that game. I'm not
a healthy
lie.
Kate is really... Yeah.
They will have a coming-to-earth moment.
You think the Pistons will more
yes.
than the Nets?
Yes. I think the Nets are a lot more talented. You read out, and also, the Bucks might get worse, because Giannis, there's rumors that he might request a trade.
And Chris Middleton just got hurt, and he's out a while.
Did you see the two rumored teams that he wanted to get traded to?
Yeah, it was Brooklyn and Miami.
Yes.
Well, and
I don't think he's
going
to go to
Brooklyn. It was New York teams and Miami.
I saw Brooklyn Nets.
I saw Knicks.
I saw Brooklyn Nets.
And Nets. It was Knicks and Nets and Heat.
I didn't see any orange. I only saw black and white.
I mean, I saw orange, but we have nothing left.
I mean, were you looking in the mirror at that time?
The tank is empty. There's nothing for the Knicks to trade away. But
no, there isn't.
I did see that Giannis would be interested in coming to Brooklyn. There was also the rumors at the start of the year that a Jimmy Butler was at his betting line at one point was favored to go to the Brooklyn Nets at some point. But, Samantha, I want to go to you. Where do you see this Nets team falling in the bigger picture of everything?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm kind of being disloyal, but I think they can be pretty high if Cam Thomas does not burn out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think
it's hard to keep up that production.
Yeah,
That's true.
He's scoring.
He kept it up last year, so I'm not nervous about that. Mm. He has been starting games poorly. I will say that, Samantha. I don't disagree with you that, like, it can happen where he burns out or doesn't have as good a games as others, but he definitely finds a way to score, because I don't like to call people microwaves, because I don't think he's a microwave. He stays hot.
Yeah, no, he's a legit bucket.
He is score.
But there's some days where he does get hot. He has to be a microwave and gets hot eventually. Yeah. That Pistons game is he got hot eventually. You get what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
But when some other better opponents come in, like when they played the Magic for that second game of the season, mm-hmm. They should have beaten the Magic. They didn't. They should have beaten. Oh my God, the first game of the season. I'm not remembering, but they should have beaten them too. The Hawks.
Yes,
excuse me.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
They should have beat Atlanta too. The Nets are in these games. And also, credit to Ben Simmons. I know no one wants to give him
credit.
No, it's,
Ben Simmons.
It's
his
like,
passing ability
yes.
is on
11
any
assists
teams,
the game I went to.
On any team would be so valuable. It's ridiculous how good he has been for this Brooklyn team and how good his passing ability still is. Even though he looks like during that Detroit game, he got his legs back because he was running to the basket and trying to score more. Mm-hmm. He wasn't making
shots.
He
is scared to take a layup.
He wasn't that game. He started to back people down because the Nets were getting exposed by centers on the Pistons. But I think that the size that Brooklyn puts up, now that Nick Claxton's back in the starting lineup, and if Ben Simmons stays healthy, I think that this is a very good competition basketball team that can beat almost anyone on any night.
They're definitely going to put themselves out there as a free agent market. They're going to be like, I don't know if you remember that Clippers team before they got Kawhi and Paul George, that team that won like 48 games.
Yeah,
I think
they were considered like a destination.
They were considered a destination. I think Brooklyn could be something like that. Miss Ortiz, if you had to put a number on it, because I don't know. I mean, like, I see 10, 9, like a very fun, like maybe 44, 46 games maybe.
Yikes.
46
yeah.
wins?
Yeah, like,
that
you see.
The Knicks won 50 games last year with a 2 seed.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm not putting them at 46.
I'm putting them at, like,
500?
40 wins? Maybe let's give.
No, because 10 seed will be, if they're, so you have them higher than 10
so
seed.
So, like, 30.
I do have them higher than the 10 seed because okay. I believe in this team that heavily. And it's not about fan bias at this point. It is literally because I've watched almost all of these games, and I've seen how they play. And you got guys like Dorian Finney-Smith stepping up. Zaire Williams has been
Keon Johnson has been a spark plug.
Like, I look up and down this roster. This starting five has been so good for the Nets. Cam Johnson We're not going to talk about him either.
Yeah,
how
his
good
shooting
he's
is
been.
Just, yeah.
He's on fire. He fumbled the ball and then shot the. I was at that game watching. I was like, what is going on? It's like, this team is so good, and I have so much belief in them. It's about injuries now, and now it's about injuries, and it's about if they can stay hot, and if they continue this momentum, and Jordy Fernandez has been throwing out great lineups, and the Nets haven't had a legitimate head coach in 4 years.
I mean, that's a rant of that he thinks the Nets are going to be world beaters this year. Before we move on to just some general NBA talk, I want to look at like just the Nets roster as a whole. I do think at some point, like if you're still doing good, you have to be able to capitalize on the draft assets at the trade deadline that this team is going to have. You're going to have Dennis Schroeder, mm-hmm. Cam Johnson, I think Ben Simmons. Like, even if you're in that play-in position and you're not tanking, I think you have to be able to capitalize on these guys if they're having a good season. So I don't know how you guys think. I mean, do you see anyone on this roster you think? I mean, if Dennis Schroeder keeps playing how he's playing, they could net a late lottery-protected first-round pick. I mean, Ben Simmons, I think, very similar, heavily protected first-round pick. Like, is it worth it? The Nets have a ton of picks. Would it be worth it to give up maybe, not give up on the season, but give up on fighting for a play-in spot, you think, to get some more picks for the future, for future assets?
I think Brooklyn's going to be like that one popular kid that everybody just wants to, like, be around, whether that be for the fact that maybe a free agent's coming here or they're going to be able to make picks because, again, every one of these guys can play in a playoff rotation right now. I'm a Thunder fan. I remember those teams before, like currently now, that we had a bunch of guys that could just play in a playoff rotation. You could go trade. Dennis Schroeder is obviously like a starter on the playoff team.
Yeah.
Nick Claxton obviously is as well. Cam Thomas is a microwave off the bench.
Cam Johnson started on an NBA Finals team.
Exactly. There you go.
Six man.
Lost his starting job to Mikhail because he couldn't defend.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A bunch of different guys, a lot of playoff teams with championship aspirations could go, you know what, Brooklyn, I really like this guy. I'll throw you whatnot. And you know what, Brooklyn's gonna have a lot of buyers and sellers, and they're gonna be in a lot of talks to come.
I think they definitely can make a pick. Mm-hmm. I won't say that they can't, but I think when you start off so strong and when you have, I don't want to say one man leading it, I think it's so easy to get burnt out. Like I said earlier, mm-hmm. I think burnout, it leads to injuries.
Yeah.
Which I feel like happens so much on New York teams.
Yeah, the Knicks last year and the Nets too. The Harden and all
exactly.
that, they always got hurt.
I don't want to be a downer, but I also don't want to give Kurt all the glory. And
yeah, you can't give Kurt too much
you
glory.
Can give, you can just give me the
he'll
glory.
He'll never quit
I'm
yapping
okay.
about the
no,
Nets.
No, I still
want
to yap. Owen, I'm going to keep texting you about this. I've been a little cooled down because of the Yankees losing, but now it's all game.
One of my only, even as a Yankee hater, one of my only supporters at the most down in my life with the Yankees, he was one of the only Mets fans not sending hate my way. So shout out Kurt
I
for that.
I wasn't going to do that. But also, I just have one thing to read out to you. The Nets have 4 first-round picks this season, this draft. 4 in
protected,
the most loaded draft.
Protections
there's
on any of them?
One protected. There's 2 protected. Actually, 1 protected pick.
Okay.
1 through 4 protected pick.
And that's the Knicks one?
I think these are all Knicks picks. Yes. No. There's a Knicks pick.
Knicks is unprotected this year.
The Knicks is no protected, yes.
And then I think the Rockets?
Milwaukee. I don't know where they got that.
You got that from us.
Is that from the?
That's from the Knicks trade. They gave the Knicks had the Milwaukee 1 through 4.
That's
protected.
The Milwaukee 1 through 4. But why would you if the season's going good? What's the point of blowing it up?
I'm not saying blow it up, but like get assets.
What's the point?
Get Giannis.
They have the most picks, I think, in the NBA.
Thunder still, I think.
Okay, sorry, but they have the second most or something like that.
Everyone's always after the Thunder in picks regard.
Well, because they have picks till 2050. They have the picks. But I'm just saying, the Nets have so many picks that they can make now, and I also trust Sean Marks with my life. When it comes to draft picks, because half of this team is draft picks, and those 0-8 Cavaliers are also half net draft picks. So we could see where a team with Sean Mark draft picks takes you, because you have Cam Thomas picked late, De'Ron Sharp was picked late, you have Nick Claxton was picked top 20.
I think it was like a late lottery.
Yeah. So exactly what I'm saying. All of these guys that Sean Marks is able to pick through and comb through, especially in one of the most talented draft classes we've seen in a very long time, which is this year's.
This draft is unbelievable.
What's the point of just starting to stack on picks when you could just add more rookies that can just help your roster and maybe lead you to a championship next year instead of like a play-in spot or a higher playoff or a higher playoff seed. Because right now, mind you, I'm only saying with the seeding right now, the Knicks are fighting not for Cooper Flagg, but home court advantage in the playoffs.
It is still, we're still early in the season. We're only 6 games in for the Knicks, 8 games in for the Nets, and Kurt's talking about seeding in the playoffs. But I want to talk about a team that should, I don't know if they should or not, give up on their season. Obviously, they're not going to give up on their season, but the biggest story of right now is the Joel Embiid incident in the locker room, pushing the reporter. He's now been suspended 3 games. He's yet to play a game yet this year, and the Sixers have fallen to 1-5. I kind of just want to get your thoughts on the whole Embiid situation with how the season started with him not playing, them being investigated, and then as soon as he's about to come back, he pushes the reporter, gets suspended, and just the Sixers overall. How do we feel about the Embiid situation in Philly right now?
Well, first off, Marcus Haynes, I believe, is the reporter. That's his name. Obviously, as journalists, I believe we're all journalism majors in this room. Kurt Sipple, I don't know if you are as well. You're shaking your head yes. Obviously, there's there's some things that you have to make decisions about some stuff in writing. Like, it's a lot of stuff are touch and go. And even if you wish to articulate a point, there's more, I would say, like, graceful ways to do that. He was not graceful in his sense there.
Yeah, the article was not
dead
written.
Relatives is never something that you want to touch. And journalism,
especially when taking a shot kind of at something.
Exactly. When you want to explain why this player isn't something, when you want to talk about their equilibrium and as a fighter per se, or as a competitor. So obviously you could be more gracious there, and you have to do more due diligence, and obviously you don't touch that, right? In terms of Joel Embiid not playing, it's always a weird feeling going back to like the start of the trust the process, even before he was drafted, with the Colangelos and that whole entire front office. It almost seems like Philadelphia has never had a plan for Joel Embiid when it came to taking care of his health. Like, I've noticed it on the court. Sometimes he goes all out. Other times he's like, okay, I have to reserve myself, because it seems like he's doing it to protect himself. Almost in certain situations. And now you have a thing that pretty much is shot to heck. I don't know if I could use HE double hockey sticks over NPR affiliate, but Philadelphia, it's just always been a mess. And this is not the first year. This is not the second. It's
been
going
a while.
Close to a decade now, Philadelphia has always been a mess. And now you actually have players on a roster where you could potentially make a run. But again, it just seems like with Joel Embiid being the head of the fish, a second round is the best you're going to hope for, because Paul George is much of the same player as well. Like, Paul George, you like to think of him as like an all-NBA talent, but
he's no longer the Indiana Pacers guy, or even...
I don't like the transition to his game. I think it's a little... It's not aggressive enough. His decision-making sometimes isn't the most impressive, and it's just Tyrese Maxey out there just putting up buckets and losses. So, Philadelphia, same old to me.
Yeah, I think... My issue with the reporter is just, why are we bringing this into discussion? I mean, shouldn't you be reporting about basketball? And let's talk about the players, like, hopes and dreams for his team. I think it's very unfortunate. Yes, he's injured, but he has a delay of 3 games. And 3 games, that's a lot. I think his start off, or I just think it's going to take a lot for him to get back in the groove. And I agree with what you said, Madi, that I feel like the 76ers don't ever really have a plan for him, which is unfortunate. So I'm hoping or wishing the best. Yeah.
I think I completely disagree with you guys on the journalism thing.
Really, Kurt?
We're journalists, and you have to report on the news that you're given. We learned that. I have the AP style guide in my bag. I can give it to you. It's not ethically wrong what he did.
I don't know if I mean, I guess... ethically wrong, but
and Joel
that's
Embiid
why I said it's touch and
go. Paid to not do that. Gets paid to talk to reporters, and we're trying to become professionals in this industry, and being scared of what you publish because an NBA player might push you around in the locker room.
I think it was wrong what Embiid
ridiculous.
Did, but I don't also can't say what the reporter did was right.
I'm not going to say the reporter was correct, but I also can't say that the reporter did anything wrong.
In the journalistic sense, but I don't know where you get like that assumption, because we can examine it. He says,
"I might be."
You named your son after your dead brother, but because you're not playing, that somehow dishonors your dead brother. Like, where does that even come from?
I don't disagree that it might be too much.
Not even too much. It's just out of like the connection. Yeah, it's not a.
Was it? It's a sports article. It wasn't opinion or anything like that.
It was an article on just Embiid.
It was an opinion because he's a columnist.
So he's allowed to write whatever he wants.
But how do you get?
That's my point.
Which is true. You could say whatever
you. You can write whatever you want.
You could say whatever you want, Kurt. But that doesn't necessarily make.
But
like,
my one point about this is, and this is just like overarching point, is that Embiid gets paid to not overreact to these things. Mm. Instead of doing that and pushing a reporter and adding fuel to the fire of people that think that you're already not doing good, you should just play basketball.
So,
and you should quell the haters that way. You can also speak out in a press conference by saying, I don't like what that reporter said about me. I don't agree with it. It disrespected me and my family. But taking the childish route of pushing a reporter and threatening him is, I think, ridiculous.
So, Kurt, would you say if he cursed him out, like, that would be more appropriate?
Yeah,
I do agree. I think there was a better – I don't physically think, like, pushing him was, like, the right way to go about it. If he saw him in the locker room, like – I think from the journalist's standpoint, like, I don't know how, like, you can write something like that and then
be expected
to be treated the same by that player, I think, in the locker room. Like,
I don't disagree with
that. Like, the reporter writes that and then expect Embiid to be like, oh, I'll answer all your questions. Like, I don't believe, like, Embiid should have to answer his questions. I think Embiid should have been able to confront him, but pushing him was not, I don't think, the right way to go.
I agree with that, and he's a columnist. He's allowed to write his opinion, but that does not change the fact that the opinion's stupid. Like, it came out of mm-hmm. nowhere. You can say what you want, but that doesn't mean that it's a dumb opinion. It makes zero sense. It comes out of nowhere. But I understand that he's supposed to handle himself as a way, but that's kind of the autonomy that the players have been fighting for, like, more than the athletes, the adage that LeBron James uses, because players sometimes get treated like mules and dogs. Like, mm-hmm. people could say, yeah, they could say what they want about them and not come out their neck. It's like I'm a human being too, and that's part of the disconnect there. They just feel like because they're getting paid exorbitant amounts of monies and they're 6'8" and they're 250 pounds and they could jump a million feet in the air, that people don't see them as human beings with emotion, and they think money and statute and stature, rather, social stature, is supposed to erase all of that. I do not blame Joel Embiid. He should not have done that. I don't blame him for having a human reaction from an opinion that came out of nowhere that had nothing to do with anything. So
definitely, I totally agree. I think obviously the physical thing is,
can't do it,
out of line. You just can't, because at the end of the day, the reporter is also trying to do his job, and you know, they got to collaborate in that way. But I do think as a journalism major, when you are like, I guess, researching topics like this or interviewing people on topics like this, you just have to have some kind of respect, and you have to read the room. I think, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at ESPN right now, and I mean, it's like we saw Embiid's aggression before the altercation happened, and the reporter kind of, I think this is him instigating. He said, but you do. So like, I think there's a way to go about it. You don't have to instigate, and I think there are other ways that you can form questions without being mean. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think with two, like, this is on both sides, a struggling Sixers team, like, Embiid, like, when you're that doing that bad, Embiid has to be able to kind of take his, like, this is another distraction that the Sixers don't need. If he had handled it maybe better, just, like, saying something to him or, like, making a statement about how he felt about the article, like, the Sixers don't need this many distractions. Paul George has been hurt. Embiid hasn't played a game. Now he's suspended. Tyrese Maxey's, like you said, out there on his own, kind of carrying this team. And the Sixers are going to have to try to turn around quickly. I know it's early in the season, but 1-5 is a struggle. The Bucks also 1-6. Both two teams were supposed to be the top of the East. But before we wrap it up, I want to head to the top of the West, and your Oklahoma City Thunder. They're undefeated. They have one of the best young rosters in the NBA. Maybe not probably the best young roster in the NBA. They have
offended. Who's best? Best young roster, best defensive team in basketball.
They have
best young.
Picks out the wazoo. Woof. I mean, they just got Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey, which is an unbelievable trade. So I'm just going to the Thunder undefeated. That's your team. Let's hear. How are we feeling about the Thunder so far?
How am I feeling about the Oklahoma City Thunder? You know what? I always remember Game 6, 2016 Western Conference Finals at home. Kevin Durant shot 10 for 31 in that game. Russell Westbrook did not play well. I believe they combined for 57. Durant with 29, Russ with 28. I remember that game because I threw up three times and I passed out, and my dad was laughing at me. Like, he was just laughing at me.
Terrible shooting.
Terrible. I was 13 years old with grandpa glasses, and I was just a complete and utter mess. Make sure those photos don't come out. But, ladies and gentlemen, the best defense in the league, holding opponents to 95 points per game. I think the offense is about middle of the pack, at about 115 points per game. I can't remember. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a league MVP. Mm-hmm. Take that down. Mm-hmm. Jalen Williams will be an All-NBA. Not this year, the next.
Soon.
But very, very soon, he's one of the best 15 players in basketball.
He could be around an All-Star this year, I think.
Around
an
All-Star.
All-Star.
Chet can be an All-NBA. He'll be an All-Star, All-NBA kind of type player. Like Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins is a poor man's Bruce Brown. Like, he could do everything.
That's a really good comp right there.
Poor man's Bruce Brown. He could do everything. 6'5", long arms, defend, handle the ball, shoot a little bit. Isaiah Joe is like a sniper from beyond the arc. We're going to get Isaiah back because that was the one thing about Oklahoma City. Chet got blitzed last year from Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington and the big bodies of Dallas. But he's going to be coming back. And ladies and gentlemen, with the best GM in basketball, yes, I did say it, drafted three MVPs in a row, Samuel Presti. And the Oklahoma City Thunder will make it to the Western Conference Finals. Mark my words.
Ooh, Western Conference Finals.
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, the West is stacked. The West has had a lot of really good teams. I mean, the Timberwolves are going to figure it out soon. The Nuggets are kind of entering the end of that little era that they have going on. They're in a lot of bad cap situation. Aaron Gordon just got hurt. So, I mean, the Thunder are in a perfect situation. They have... So the young players they have on this roster, the draft, Sam Presti, like, hitting on, I mean, I guess like Chet wasn't really, it was a top five pick, but he's hit so many picks. And going out and signing Isaiah Hartenstein, I know he's out for, what is it, six to eight weeks?
6 days, a little bit of an overpay, because $29 million.
But you had to overpay him for him to leave the Knicks. And the Thunder, that was the one issue last year, is they got killed by
the big
they needed a big center. Like, Chet is an amazing player. He'll be all NBA, but he doesn't have like the strength to go against some of the bigger centers in the league. But
he could defend the basket too. He blocks.
Yeah,
some
but
shots.
I mean, when you're going against like, if you're throwing him against like a Giannis or an Embiid, or I guess I'm trying to think of the bigger centers, like an AD. Like, he's not. Yeah. He was not doing too well. I mean, the West is stacked. I mean, you got the Suns at 6-1. The Warriors. Warriors at 6-1 is.
The Warriors
also
could be
crazy
because Buddy Hield, ladies and gentlemen, game ball of the season goes to Buddy Hield because he's shooting the
light. That always happens to Buddy Hield, though.
What do you mean? You mean like
he always starts off the year super hot, one of the best 3-point shooters, and then after the trade deadline, he gets traded, and then he ends up not playing anymore.
I mean, but he has Steph next to him right now, so he'll be getting open shots. I mean, like, he's shooting unconscious. The Warriors will fall down back to earth. That team, the roster's just not good enough. Phoenix will fall down back to earth. Kevin Durant has never been the best player on the championship team. I watched it with my own 13-year-old eyes.
Yeah, he's not. Doesn't have to be Devin Booker.
That's fine. That team will not go anywhere. They didn't get the roster right either. I don't care about Phoenix.
That's a hot take.
I don't care. I don't care about Phoenix. I don't care.
Dallas?
About,
nothing to Dallas? Obviously,
they're the team that beat us. Dallas, they got the defense right. Kyrie, Luka, Clay, if Clay could come alive. So Dallas, Sacramento is even a sleeper for me. There's a lot of other teams, but like Phoenix, no.
See, I feel like Phoenix is the biggest threat in the West to you. I mean, so you sound like you're saying easy walk to the finals. For the Thunder, with the roster that you have, with the guys that you have, and especially when it comes to the trade deadline, they might start looking to throw some of those picks out of the way. Also, I don't know if you pay or pay. This was like a little bit of an offseason narrative. The Thunder have the Clippers' unprotected first-round pick this year, and there was a situation.
We could get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
We could literally get Cooper Flagg. Just say it.
Yeah, that if the Clippers were to bottom out with no Kawhi Leonard, there was a chance that the Thunder could get Cooper Flagg as like – the one seed in the league.
The greatest heist. Have you ever heard of the greatest heist that is almost like about to happen?
You
like,
think, going back to that, I guess that trade set up the Thunder for decades.
Paul George.
Like 20 years. But like, think about what the Clippers went all in. Like, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't tear his ACL 16 times.
They probably win a championship
yes,
they
by
do.
Now.
Yes, they do.
And same with Paul George. Like, that trade, looking back on it for the Clippers, like, they went all in, but like, they went all in on the right two guys, and they could have won a ring, but now they're close to bottoming out.
Yeah, it's tough for the Clippers because you think of 2021, Paul George dragging them to six against the Phoenix Suns. With a healthy Kawhi Leonard, you think they win there. 2020 was an abomination. Like, if you run that tape back, that maybe doesn't happen.
I think, too, the Clippers
again.
Probably win the finals if it's not the bubble.
Yeah, they probably win a finals. They definitely get one out the way. So, again, and Steve Ballmer is a guy who's player first. Like, he'll throw money. He's like Steve Cohen.
I'd say he's the best owner in the NBA.
The richest owner, first of all. And he is the best because he really—
he's most committed to the players.
Yes, he is. And the team, and he gave them a new stadium. And the wall is a brilliant idea. So, it was so really cool. A perfect plan, but just imperfect, like, Kawhi injuries. So, I'm not mad at them. Especially because they gave me Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a million picks. So, LA Clippers, you will always be in my heart. J'adore. You are my love.
They have set the Thunder up for an unbelievable future. I mean, the Thunder are going to be an absolute wagon for years to come. 7-0 right now. Probably the favorites in the Western Conference. But that's going to be it for this week's episode of Pick and Pod. It was a fun one. Some good debate on this one, but that Knicks and Nets. Check out Pick and Pod wherever you get your podcasts. For Samantha Ortiz, Mate Dembele, Kurt Sippel, I'm Owen Kelty, and Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.